Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Tonight we're going to be talking about some stuff on the hard water. We're going to talk about the keys to being more successful out there fishing. You know, just whatever you're going for, but how to just get on more fish. We went out this last weekend. We did okay, but there's some things that we saw guys out there doing. We're like, what are they doing? You know, I mean, they're not having any fish, and you can see them because they're all just sitting there, but they weren't catching fish, and we wanted to go over and say, hey, guys. But, you know, there was one group out there that actually was doing quite well. They got into trout, and they got into perch, and the reason why? Because they weren't afraid to move.
Yeah, that's really the number one key is be mobile. Go after the fish. There's a lot of times where, you know, you go drill holes, and boom, you drop down, and you catch a couple fish right away, but then it kind of dies. Well, it's time to go, you know, keep going. Yeah. You know, unless you're fishing a specific piece of structure that you know that, say in the evening, it's a, you know, it's a break and walleyes come in there and feed and you want to be set up on it, sure, you're going to stay put.
Well, but that's what we had this week. We were going for those giant northerns that we've caught multiple there, and we know they're coming on that break. We know it's going to happen. So we have the tip-up there. We had tip-ups out there on that break waiting for them to come. But we ended up moving three times, and every time we moved, we caught fish. But we couldn't get too far away to still be able to see our tip-ups. So because we were targeting those big northerns, and we have to use dead sucker meat down there, I mean, we know that those fish are going to come through because just from time on the ice, we know that that's a place they travel. And one out of every couple times you're out on the water, if you can spend, we spent like 11 hours out there, you're going to be rewarded with a giant. So we were limited in moving because we were going for those big fish that we knew. But the guys on the other side of the ridge, there was a couple that left because they're like, bite's terrible. Well, the other guys that came out, they went to the same spot. They came out there later, and they were fishing, and they kept knocking out holes, and they found fish. They found them, and they were catching them. They started catching trout, and then they actually moved way out and found when the trout stopped, they moved out and started catching perch. That was because they were moving. They weren't afraid to move.
But that's not really an ice fishing secret. That's more of a just a generality of fishing, though, right? I mean, that's how we all run on open water. You go out there and you go from you bounce from spot to spot to spot and you blaze and you bounce. I mean, that's
well, when you're in a boat, it's easy. It is exactly.
But it's applying the same principle, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But how come when we're out there, 90% of the guys don't do that?
Well, because first off, ice fishing is more of a little bit of a lazier type deal, right?
Like no.
That's because you don't do it.
Well, you're right. So anybody who doesn't know, I don't do it.
I could go anchor the boat too and not move all day.
Well, sure, but you know what I mean. I mean, people have those giant shanties they put out there, and we know they're not moving those around a lot, and they're sitting there, you know, the ones that look like campers on sleds, right? They have their spots. I mean, it's like a town out there. You have your spot, you claim your spot. And that's what they do.
I mean, yeah, like if you're out on Mille Lacs where they have a whole town, you're not moving your house.
Right.
But we're talking just the guys that are going out sitting on a bucket, or they have a two-man popover tent or a popover ice house.
Right.
Whatever, things like that that are mobile.
Right. Yeah.
If you're able to be mobile, be mobile.
Right.
Yeah, there's all kinds of guys with ATV set up, snowmobile set up, and it's all set up to be mobile. Like for us out here in Colorado, we can't bring motorized vehicles on most water.
Right.
So we're dragging sleds. Well, let me tell you, we pack light and we pack with the plan to move. And a lot of times I like to go out by myself and so I can move freely all day long. But say there's a basin and I'm perch fishing. Sure enough, I'll drill my two holes, drop my jigging wrap down or spoon as kind of the attractor, and I'll sit there and jig that. Well, a foot and a half away, I'll drill another hole, and that's where I drop my dead stick down. That might be a live fathead on a hook, might be just a fathead head, might be a perch eyeball, you know,
whatever.
Yeah, right. But that's my dead stick sitting there. Right. And I've watched on the aqua view, I've, you know, sitting there jigging. Sure enough, that attracts the fish, brings in fish that are in that area, because they're curious, they want to see what's going on.
The spoon
Sometimes they'll hit that spoon. A lot of times, probably more often than hitting the spoon, it's a little too much. It's a little too aggressive when they get up by it. But sure enough, they're just a foot and a half away. Oh, look at that little morsel.
Right.
And bam, my dead stick goes.
Right. But I mean, so, that's what I'm saying is what you are preaching, what you guys are saying is it's like what we preach on every time we talk about, tactics when you get out on the water is don't be lazy, be mobile.
Yes.
You know, go out, look for the fish, find your stuff, look for the structure, because it's not as easy as the boat, right? Like you said.
Right.
You got the sled, you got the bucket, you get everything set up, you get your flasher in the hole, you've got your holes drilled, which sometimes can be a pain, especially if you don't have a gas or electric auger or something. Mm-hmm. And you sit down and you get settled in, and now it's cold and you're all nice and warm and the wind's blowing outside your little tent and right?
Well,
and
so people
sit there and do that, and then you could do that all day.
So here's the thing. You go out there for a reason. I mean, some guys go out there just to kill an afternoon.
Get away from their
just
wife.
Peace and quiet.
Whatever. But if you're going out there, most people that are going ice fishing, what's number one they want to do?
Catch fish.
Yes, of course.
Think. Right.
So but that's the biggest mistake we see is you're only fishing 8 inches of water. So you got two holes, you got 16 inches of water.
Right.
If the fish aren't there or they've moved on, it's time for you to move on.
Right.
Yeah.
Only be 20 yards.
Yeah. Right. I mean, your swim deck's bigger on your boat than the two ice holes.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in your direction of cast. But I mean, that's my point. The point is,
yes.
is you're saying, make sure you
but that's
you
the
try to stay
mistake.
As mobile as you can. Yep. And the biggest mistake you see, which is, let's face it, that's the biggest mistake we see on open water, is people go, they fish a spot, they fish in memory, and they just sit there.
Yes.
And that's not going to be productive on open water or on hard water.
Right, right. So, if somebody's asked me, too, how long do you sit? In a spot.
Especially as shallows you guys were fishing.
Well, say I'm hammered. I'm going to move. Well, I've even gone to the point of setting my timer on
my phone.
10 minutes, boom, I'm gone.
Gone.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm out of there. Well, yeah, it kind of depends. I mean, if you're catching fish, yeah, I'm going to stay until it slows down. But the whole point is to try to be the most efficient you can be. Yeah, that timer on your phone gives you that 10 minutes. It's time to go.
Yeah.
So we've done it in the boat many times, too, when we're...
We do.
Yep. Well, let's give it 15. Well,
and
we'll set our time.
Right.
Yeah.
We set the timer because 15 always turns into 20 and then 30. And next thing you know, you've just missed out on two more spots that could be actively holding fish.
Sure. Well, okay. So here's a great question for you both. So on open water, what is the one time when you give it your 15 minutes but you don't go? What are you seeing that tells you... Yeah, we probably should stay because, what's the one thing you see?
Well, if we're catching fish,
you're not catching fish. You're not catching fish, but you're marking them. You're marking them everywhere, right?
Maybe the sun going down.
Or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But it's something where that may hold you there longer than your 15 minutes. So with that in mind, you're on the ice. On our latest quick tip video on YouTube, which if you haven't seen it, go check it out, you see that you guys are fishing in probably 5 to 8 feet of water. It's crystal clear.
We were fishing in 10 feet
there.
10 feet,
crystal clear.
Are you talking about the Vexler video?
Yes.
That we shot? Yeah, that one was the third time we moved out. We started in 5.
Okay.
We ended up, that was at 10.
But crystal clear. So if you guys were sitting over that hole and your Vexler's lighting up every couple minutes, right, with fish moving in and out, you found a spot where, like a fish highway, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just found a spot where these fish seem to be cruising in and out. Would you leave or would you stay? And would you hammer that until they either became active or the active ones pulled through? I mean, because we do that, right? Think about it. You're out there open water. You're fishing, let's say, a weed edge, and you throw out slip bobbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I see what you're saying. You're sitting there waiting
for those
active fish.
Yes, I know. And that's devil's advocate there. You're always like, God, I know they're there.
But that's a question people are going to ask.
No.
Since I don't ice fish, you two tell
me. We move. I move. If
okay.
the fish aren't active, I move.
Yeah, and it really – I kind of let what we're fishing for and what we're fishing on decide it. So if it is that break, like what Brad and I were on, that we know that fish move in there. So that's why we're there, to hold that spot. Well, yeah, we're going to sit and wait.
Yeah.
But if it's a long weed line, in a bay, sure enough, I might work that whole weed line.
Yeah.
And I'm still on the weed line.
Right.
So it really just depends I think, on what you're fishing for.
Well,
that's just it.
So we fish an area that we know has been productive, right? So that's your memory, that's your history. But we also look at our our lake maps before we go out to see where that structure is, find it when we hit our holes in the water. And then, like on this one, though, we stayed, like I said, we stayed close within probably 70, 80 yards because we had two tip-ups out for the northerns.
Right.
Because we, you know, we've been to this lake numerous times over the last several years, and they come through. It's usually first thing in the morning and at sunset. But there's been an occasional one caught in the middle of the day. So, and I'm not talking a 20-inch northern. We're talking that 36 to 40-inch range.
Big,
so it's
big boy.
So to answer your question, did we stay longer fishing for those small fish? Yes, because we really weren't fishing for them. That was passing the time.
Yeah.
But we still couldn't help ourselves.
Right.
We had to move because living by that principle, you have to move. So we drilled a bunch of different holes to where we were still looking at being able to see our tip-ups, because that's what we were really fishing, is those two tip-ups going for the northerns.
Right.
It was because we were out there 11 hours.
Right.
I mean, we could sit there and just watch the tip-ups, but why not at least try to jig something else up? Yeah, we're fishing.
Right, so
we're catching.
Let's switch species, okay? Lakers, you're going for lake trout, which we have pretty good
trout
fishing in Colorado and some lakes.
Yep.
So we're switching from pike and you guys jigging up trout, which is what you did, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to switch gears. We're going to go to lake trout.
Yeah.
So what is your tactic for lake trout? Is it the same, or are you moving no matter what? Or if, because we all know how those lake trout, I mean, they will come up, and a lot of times you can use tube jigs and things like that.
Well, we are using 1 ounce, 5 inch tube jigs.
There you go. So you can use that, and they will go up, and they will sit there and you know, almost look like they're sniffing it for God only knows how long before they actually ever decide to even bite it. How long will you give that? How long will you sit there if you have fish coming up and inspecting it?
It's the same. Fish is a fish, dude. So when we were out in Granby, and what was the high? -4?
Yeah, it was
We were cold. Out there for 3 days. -4, and you got an ice house, you got your auger. Now you're moving. It's like, this ice house just warmed up.
Right.
So we probably took it longer than the 10 minutes just because it was so cold.
But that's my point. That's what people are going to ask.
It was probably every 25 or 30 because it was so cold.
Yeah.
It was so cold that when you stepped outside, you couldn't use your phone because after about 15, 20 seconds, even in your pocket, it wasn't allowing you to turn off.
It would shut down.
It would turn off. That's how cold it
was. Yeah. No, and I, yeah.
So it was, that was more of a matter of.
And now you know why I don't ice fish.
Yes. Yeah. But that was, but then we got in our ice house where it ended up being like 55, 60. And you're like, whoo, finally warm. Yeah. Okay, let's move.
Right.
We did, but not probably the 10. And that was more of a.
And is it a species thing? Is that because.
Well, I was just going to say, Lakers are a little different. So
we were hanging about a half hour, 40 minutes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yep. And really, you know, you drill two new holes. You drill your new holes. You move to a new spot. Here you go. Boom. All of a sudden, the flasher just starts going crazy, like a Christmas lights. And sure enough, there's Lakers. Well, a lot of times, you know, you may catch some, you may not, depending on, you know, how if they're in the
that's
mood,
fishing.
You know, bite. It's,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And
I don't have.
But a lot of times, a lot of times, those fish that were right there that were interested in your big tube jig.
Right.
They scatter. All of a sudden, the marks stop. It's time to go.
Okay.
Whether that's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, it is a little different with Lakers.
Okay. Well, that's my
question.
Yeah,
we held on them a little bit longer.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, and then people are going to listen to this and say, oh, well, you know, that's not true because, you know, crappie. Well, I think it's important to point out, as it is in all fishing, because, you know, that's really the key, right?
The biggest thing, though, take away from this is just be mobile. Don't just
park
your
butt. Well, and it's species specific, though, because you have to look. Because we all know that you're gonna get the fishermen that sit there and argue that I catch 50 crappie, and I'm going to sit in that spot all day because I can catch 50 crappie.
Well, then don't leave. You're catching fish.
Yeah, I would too.
Right, but it may not all be at... You know, it may not be all day. It may be they catch 20 in the morning and 20 at night, like you said. So in between, are they leaving? Are they? So I mean, that's
Wouldn't
my point. Is that a crappie?
70?
Well, is that a crappie? Is that a crappie thing, or is it a fishing on the spot thing?
I can't answer that. I don't know. I mean, I just know that we've are more successful just by moving when there's not fish there.
So the
here's another big key that we see. I see people do it all the time, and I hardly ever make this error unless I have to. But oh no, if I'm fishing in the afternoon, I'm staying till it's pitch black.
Yeah.
Every time I see people, they invest, you know, 3-4 hours. I mean, maybe they have to get home and they've got plans that night, whatever. But I think a lot of times is they sat there for 3 hours, didn't catch anything, and it's the sun starts going down, it starts to get cold.
Yeah.
It's time to pack up, let's go.
Yeah.
And they're leaving right when the bite gets
so,
turn on.
So last week there was probably a dozen people out on this lake fishing. Once the sun started setting, about an hour before sunset,
they were gone.
Only one other folks stayed.
Yeah.
And they were probably 150 yards away from us on the other side of this point. And they had been sitting there all day. Bam. I mean, they moved out and caught perch, but they came back in. One guy actually left. He's walking off the ice, and he's going up the shore, and the other guys are like, hey, where are you going?
Yeah.
And he's like, I thought we were going. He's like, no. And he came back out, drilled two holes, and we watched him catch a dozen fish.
Yeah.
And up until we could barely see them anymore. So that's getting dark.
Yeah.
So that's the key. Fish your low light periods.
Oh, you know, turning on.
You know, a lot of people, they oversleep. You know, I had a few too many the night before. So they roll out to the lake at 8 or so. And guess what? You just missed the best window. You know, so that morning and evening bite time, that's be there, be efficient.
Yeah. Well, that, like I said, ice fishing, that time of year where the 3 or 4 months, you know, during the year when everyone acts like they like catching trout, you know, I mean, that's what
we'll take it.
No, it's awesome.
Okay. I've got one more key.
Yeah.
And this is another kind of ice fishing mistake people make is just focus. Pay attention to your rod.
That's the biggest thing. Yeah. I mean, not drill at home, or not being mobile, but the second it is so close to that end is being focused. I mean, they fiddle fart around. We were out last year, and we were out with a buddy, and he brought one of these air, like, seats to sit on.
Yeah, that you kind of shake out, and it fills with air.
Oh, right.
And then you can lay in it or
whatever. Nice. Well, he hadn't practiced this before he went out, so he spent, 30, 40 minutes running around the ice trying to get this stupid thing to fill up with air.
Yeah.
And then when he finally did, he laid down on it. He was exhausted.
Yeah.
So he lost out about an hour of fishing. We're like, got another one. Yeah. He's like,
he spent about another hour trying to hook his sunglasses that fell down the hole.
And he got them.
They were like 40 feet and he hooked them. He had his little AquaView. And sure enough, he hooked them.
He got his glasses back. Yeah.
But really, you know, hey, a lot of people go ice fishing just to have a good time, right?
Well, no, he said he caught them and he goes, he wasn't sure if they were his glasses. And we're like, how many glasses?
On the bottom of the lake.
He goes, I don't think these are mine. Shut up, dude. You know what I mean?
Anyway, well, lucky to drill that hole right
there.
Right where they fell off.
Yeah.
Somebody else's glasses fell off.
So, what are you going ice fishing for? To catch fish or just to go get out with the guys, your group of buddies?
That's right.
And
okay, too.
Get them? Sure. Right. And a lot of times you'll see groups of guys where everybody just lays their rod on the ice, you know, it's down the hole or in a little rod holder, and then they're standing there BSing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's great, and all of a sudden, you know, 15 feet away, guess what? Mr. Fish is trying to get caught, but no.
You know what's funny is when you're out on the ice and you're out with two or three guys and you're, you know, 15 yards apart, your voice carries 15 yards. You don't need to be standing right next to each other. You can fish your hole.
No, and I've noticed it's definitely you know this being from Minnesota, Mitch, that it's really a culture thing, right? Like back there, it is a culture. Like guys, you know,
they're good at it.
Well, and they love it, right? Yeah. I mean,
I've got buddies that live on the ice all winter. They don't go home. They work and live out at their house.
They might shower every couple of days, but
they're fishing all night long.
And that's not the way. I mean, obviously, it's not the way it was here when I grew up. You know, because we don't get that much ice, if any, on the front range.
Yeah, you get a little, but you got to go in the mountains.
And so that's where you go. And even then, like you said, it just gets so cold and people disappear.
That.
Yes, you did.
You said you get too cold.
No, it gets so cold.
Yeah, this guy's ice.
Where were you last weekend when we went ice fishing?
Yeah.
I was at a Christmas party with my kids,
Fun.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Fun. You would have been.
I would have been
dumping in your pants.
Out with how much the ice was popping.
Yeah, and not only that, but you two have a two-person little shack or whatever you two do in there. I would have been out there freezing my butt off.
No, you would have been in the shack.
Yeah.
Why? It's only
because we know
like
it would have been like taking our kid with us.
That's the only way we'd have kept you on the ice.
Here's some snacks.
Yeah, sure. And juice box. Make sure you give me a juice box. Yeah, I'm with it.
We got some videos downloaded on the iPad.
There
you
go.
Can watch.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So I hope everybody has a good time out in the ice. We're going to wrap it up. But this is a good topic to talk about. I mean, it's a lot of fun getting out in the ice. Junior, you got to get out and try at least once, you big baby. But anyway.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
And when he goes, we're going to get it on video. Like his first steps out onto the ice.
Whatever.
So, thanks for joining us tonight. Make sure you're following us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We got our websites, alleyesonfishing@gmail.com.
No, that's our email, not the website.
Oh, that's right. I'm an idiot. Okay, well, we also have...
We got to take this responsibility away
from him. We also have a website at alleyesonfishing.com.
There we go. No ad. No ad. Well, and plus, we want everybody to know, now there's a huge amount of ways to find us on the podcast, right? There's Podbean. There's iTunes. There's Spotify.
Subscribe
there's Stricter.
To it, too.
Yeah, subscribe to it. And now it's on YouTube. So not only are we going to put more videos, quick tips and longer videos on YouTube for you guys to see, but each and every podcast is going to be able to be embedded into YouTube so you can watch it from there. So lots of ways to hear from us. Spotify also carries us. It's all, you know, easy ways for your computer, your phone, whether you're an Android or, iOS. It a lot of ways for you to listen to us.
You know what I've noticed, too, over the last year, we have a lot of people interact with us and ask questions. It's great. We love it.
Yep.
I mean, all day long. I mean, look at our, when you're on Facebook, our response rate's pretty fast because we're all banging back responses. So yep. Love to hear from you.
Yep. Instagram, too. Instagram, Twitter, a lot of stuff on Twitter. That's a great way to interact with us too. So we try to interact with other fishermen and other people. And, you know, I think the big thing is it's fun to interact, but be kind, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's
it is. It is. So from all of us, have a good night.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thank you for joining us. Join us again next time where we discuss all of your favorite fishing topics. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Check out our videos on YouTube or read our blog at alleyesonfishing.com. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.